The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three in one, and each one of those personas is God. This morning, we want to continue our study in the Apostle John's first letter, 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through the remainder of most of chapter 2. The last time we met, we looked at verses 15 through 17, where he admonishes God's children to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. We need to be doers of God's word, and not hearers only. And we find today, when you read the remainder of chapter 2 of 1 John chapter 2, there is two verses in particular, verses 20 and 27, that speak about the unction of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit who dwells within our heart. In verse 20, it says this, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." And then drop down in verse 27. "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, once again we bow our heart on earth your footstool as we address heaven's throne, realizing that only through our great high priest, Jesus Christ, only through his intercession can we pray to you in heaven. We thank you, Father, for blessing us to be able to gather once again during this surge of COVID-19. Our prayers, Lord, are first prayers of thanksgiving and rejoicing that among our congregation here that we have been blessed to get better and on the road to recovery. But there are so many in our community and in other places that are on beds of affliction with COVID and with other illnesses. And we pray your healing hand upon each of them. We pray for our nation, our nation's leaders. Pray for those impacted by Hurricane Ida and the tornadoes that came from that. We pray for our fellow citizens in Afghanistan and all around the world. Now, Father, grant us liberty in thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you see the word "but" in verses 20 and 27, he says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One." In verse 27, "but the anointing." That is a contrast that is teaching us that there is something better to be found in the Lord than there is in the world in which we live. Now, go back to verse 18. And in John's letters, he often refers to God's children as "my little children." Remember the Apostle John, he was probably into his late 80s, possibly even close to 90 years old, when he wrote this letter. He very lovingly and very tenderly refers to God's children as little children. And I do believe that that's the way God the Father sees you and me today as well, as His little children, regardless of whether we're young in age or old in age, we are His little children. And in verses 18 and 19, He warns us against the deception of false teachers when He says, "It is the last time." You know, as I've grown up, and as you have grown up in this generation, we often have heard preachers and others say that we believe that we are living in the last times or the end times. And when we see terrible events taking place in our world, that even reinforces our belief that we are living in the last times. But you read in the New Testament, and the New Testament writers, they believed in their time that they were living in the last time, and they were. And yes, we are today. The whole gospel dispensation is the last time. Now, why does He say that it is the last time? Let's find out. For He says, "And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time." An Antichrist is anyone who is against Christianity and against our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Even from the very time that Jesus walked on the face of the earth, there were many that were against Him in His day on the earth. Even the religious leaders were against Him, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yes, even some of God's children can at times be like an Antichrist against the Lord. And he teaches the church in that day and for us today that sometimes there might be those even among the church that pretended to be professors of the Lord Jesus Christ, but He says in verse 19 that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So the old devil, our adversary Satan, from time to time there might be those among the church body who come in unaware, who may seek to destroy the fellowship and the witness of the church. But yet He says, they went out from us, and it became clear to the church that they were not of the body. They were false teachers, you see. And we find, if you go farther in 1 John and look in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, that John gives a test that we might test the spirits to see whether they are of God or whether they are of the devil. He says in chapter 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but rather try or test the spirits." Now, how can we test the spirits unless we know the Word of God and unless we're following the unction or the anointing of the Holy Spirit? He says that there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world. But notice verse 2 when He says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. There were some in that day and time that were teaching that the Christ had not yet come in the flesh. Of course, you know the majority of the Jews of Jesus' day, they didn't believe that Jesus was their Messiah. And even to this day, the Orthodox Jews still believe Messiah is yet to come. But we know of a truth that Jesus is the Messiah of God. He is the Christ, and He did come as God manifest in the flesh. And so we find that we have to be on guard. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, said this, beginning in verse 15, Matthew 7, 15. He warns us, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." See, they were among us, but they were not of us, John said. "But inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, how can we know them? How can we discern who they are? He says, "You shall know them by their fruits." By their fruits. "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Certainly not. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit." A good tree can't bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit is to be hewn down and cast in the fire. Whereby he says, "By their fruits you shall know them." By their fruits you shall know them. But how can we discern the truth? Only as we follow the unction from the Holy One. Verse 20. The word, the transitional phrase, preposition but. But, in contrast to that, we, God's people, we have an unction from the Holy One. The word unction means the anointing. We have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, when we have received the new birth, the born from above, we have the anointing of the Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells our hearts and our very being. And that anointing teaches us all the things concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. When Jesus was teaching His disciples in the Gospel of John, first in chapter 14 and verse 26, He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things." The Spirit will teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever I, Jesus, have said unto you. And so, as we read the Word of God today, and as we pray in the Holy Spirit for the Spirit to give us an understanding of what God's Word teaches, that is how the Spirit brings to our remembrance, to our understanding, whatsoever things that Jesus taught His disciples in the days in which He lived on the earth. And then in chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, we see this in verse 12. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, when did that Spirit of truth come in power? He came in power on the day of Pentecost. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the disciples were gathered in the upper room, and they heard the sound as if it were a mighty rushing wind blowing, and they saw the Spirit descending as if it were tongues of fire, and it descended upon them and filled the place where they were. They were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages that others might understand God's Word. But we have that anointing with us today. He is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said that the Spirit will guide you in all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear of the Father, of Me, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. And so, that is how we understand all things. Again, our text says in verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, that's Christ, and you know all things. Now, that doesn't mean that we know everything there is to know about God or about the Bible, certainly not. But it means that the Spirit gives us knowledge and understanding to be able to discern truth from error. To be able to discern truth from error. As He gave the test of that in chapter 4. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God, and those that don't are not. And so we have that anointing today. Paul said it this way in the book of Ephesians. If you turn with me, I believe it's in chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. He said it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be, you have heard of Him and have been taught by Him, by Christ. You've been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And through the unction or the anointing of the Spirit, we have been taught by Him. We've been taught by Him. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 8 of Hebrews, and again in chapter 10, speaks about the new covenant that God made with His children. Not after the old covenant that they didn't keep when He brought them out of Egypt's bondage, but He said, I will put My law in their heart, I will write it in their mind, and they shall be My people, and I shall be their God, and neither shall they be taught of any man, but they shall be taught by the Lord. He teaches us in our heart as we pray for understanding, and we are enabled to discern the truth. He says in verse 21, I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know the truth, and no lie is of the truth. And He says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Anyone who denies that Jesus is the promised Messiah, he's lying. And he's trying to deceive God's people. And that is the spirit of Antichrist, who denies Jesus and the Father and the Son. But we find in verse 24 that we have that Spirit in our heart, and He abides in our heart. But there is a condition. We have to now abide in Him. We have to remain steadfast. We have to be faithful to Him. Now, this is not talking about eternal salvation as far as going to heaven at all after we die, but remaining faithful while we're living in this life. Whosoever, He says, therefore abide, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. That is, the anointing of the Spirit. For if that which we have heard remain in us, we will be enabled to continue in the Son and in the Father. We will continue in Him, and we will be guided by His Spirit. But He does tell us about the promise in verse 25. This is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. But remember, we have eternal life even now. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience eternal life. You know, how did Jesus define eternal life? He defines it for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and verses 2 and 3. Jesus, when He prayed to His Father before He went to the cross of Calvary, this, His intercessory prayer for you and me, His children, He said in the Gospel of John 17, verse 2, praying to the Lord, He said, as Thou hast given Him, me, power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him, His people. And this is life eternal. Here's the definition: that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Knowing God and Christ, that is the very definition of eternal life. And it's not a casual head knowledge. Rather, it is an intimate relationship of the heart and of the Spirit, and in the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing that we have of Him. That is the promise. And so, John said, I write these things to you concerning those that would seduce you, those who would deceive you. But we're not deceived, because we have the anointing of the Spirit abiding in our lives. And as that anointing remains, it teaches us the things that we need to know, the truth as opposed to a lie. And so we are to try every spirit. We're to be like the noble Bereans that Paul encountered in the book of Acts, chapter 17, when after they had preached the Word of God to them, the Scripture says that daily they searched the Scriptures whether those things were so, whether they were of God or of man. And that's what all of us are to do today. You're not simply to take my word for it. We are to study God's Word for ourselves, praying for the Spirit to give us understanding, that we might be able to discern the truth from a lie. And as we do that, we will abide in Him. Remember how Jesus taught it in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. There has to be an abiding. We must abide. Jesus taught us in John 15, I'm the vine, the Father's the vine dresser, the husbandman. And every branch in me that bears not fruit he takes away. But every branch that bears fruit, he purges or prunes it, that it might bring forth more fruit. He goes and says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Unless we abide in him, we cannot do anything that's worth anything in God's kingdom. We have to be abiding and following that unction of the Holy Spirit. And then he closes out this chapter in verse 28 of 1 John 2. Says, now little children, abide in him. Abide. That when he shall appear, and he is coming back someday, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Yes, Jesus is coming back again someday. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be very soon. But when the time is right, he will come again. And so may we abide in him and abide in his anointing is my prayer for Christ's sake.